You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Jazzed in Blue. Profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. Today, Jazzed in Blue profiles blues legend Tracy Nelson, the vivacious Kelly Lee Evans, and sci-fi icon and chanteuse Jane Badler. Stick around for more. Jazzed in Blue is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome back to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and with the launch of Jazzed in Blue, I figured this was a time to reacquaint listeners with my dear friend Jane Badler. In the early 80s, Badler starred in the sci-fi miniseries and subsequent weekly series V as the show's sultry villain, Diana. Upon the show's cancellation, Badler remained in television on shows such as Falcon Crest and The New Mission Impossible. After leaving the States and moving to Australia, Badler found new life as a singer. In 2008, she released her CD, The Devil Has My Double. Now she's followed it up with Tears Again. Rockwired.com was one of the first people to spin the album months ago when Badler was returning to the now-canceled V series on ABC. You'll hear our interview in just a few minutes. From her CD, Tears Again, here is Jane Badler with Sir with The Wrong People.
We'll be right back.
From her CD Tears Again, that was Jane Badler with The Wrong People. Visit Jane at her official website, www.janebadler.com. Rockwired had a chance to catch up with Jane, and here's how the interview went.
Well, Jane, it's been a busy busy couple of months for you right now. You have a soap opera going on in Australia, you're back with V, and you've got this new album coming out. So.
I know, it's complete madness, and what can I say? I feel like with a lot of time in the wilderness, it's a very good feeling.
I see. But since Rockwired is definitely a music program, I'd like to talk about this new album, Tears Again. Talk about the title.
Well, this title did not come easily. We threw a lot of titles around, and I think that we felt that some of the titles we came up with were a little too strong. Like Men Who Lie, and, you know, that was kind of one idea, and Did I Leave the House Today? These are all titled songs, but we were trying to find something that would encompass the album, the tongue-in-cheek aspect of it, and also the production of it, which is quite orchestral and cinematic. So in the end, we came up with Tears Again, kind of about the idea of a woman who's stuck in her own soap opera, and just when her life looks like it's getting back on track, there's tears again. So we came up with the title, you know, kind of via all those reasons.
I see. And the woman, you know, the character within all of these songs, is it the same one we heard about in The Devil Has My Double?
Yeah, it is. It's like they're different. The way we're looking at it is we're going to do three concept albums. This is the second, that was the first, and then there'll be a third. And like a trilogy, and each one is very differently produced. So the first one was quite indie sounding, a bit minimal, very much live band, and not very produced. This one is very different. It's very orchestral, lots of instruments, horns, violins, beautifully produced. Not that the other one wasn't, but much more produced. And we brought in quite a big producer, so he had much more of a say in the album than in the last one when we all did it ourselves.
And you're still working with the band Sir and Jesse,
yes,
correct?
Yes, Jesse is Sir, and the band has changed. The bass player is the same, but we have a new drummer and a new guitarist on this album, and I think they're just the best. And that's when I go back to Australian tour, it'll be those four people. And I am going to be doing a huge launch with everyone on the album, which is a very rare thing because it's about 8 to 10 musicians. And I'm doing a launch when I get back at a very big club using the whole band and the three backup singers.
Talk about working with Jesse. What do you think he brings to this table, to the table that just makes it work?
Jesse is, to me, without Jesse, there's nothing. He is he's got the artiness, he understands the contemporary, edgy, kind of cool. He can do all that really well. And I don't care, you can be the most brilliant composer, musician, but not necessarily know how to do that. And Jesse also has an incredible turn of phrase and an ironicness in his lyrics that are very refreshing and kind of original and very creative and quirky. We work together so beautifully, and I think this album is really exciting, but I still feel that the music lends itself to very much an European art house feel. And I think, not to be thinking ahead, but I know my third album, I really want to get in a European producer and do something more that way, the next one.
For the first album, it seemed like you were the muse for the project, pretty much. Are you a little more active in the songwriting this time, or is it pretty much...
That is such a good question, Brian, because in the first one, Jesse approached me. He'd written most of the songs. He said, "Would you sing my songs?" So that lent itself a whole different sort of issues, because what you have to do is take a song that someone else has written, and not necessarily for you, and find your way in that song and make that song mean something to you. And that's really hard. and a lot of the songs he'd written we just didn't use because they didn't work for me. And then he wrote about four songs on the album for me in that first album. Second album was totally written for me, where we'd meet and have meetings and have a storyboard and talk about themes and ideas. And also, I decided that I was going to start to write, and so I wrote a song, which is on the album as well. And then since that time, I've been, you know, writing songs, which is very exciting. Not all good, but still, I'm in there writing, you know. But I'm very proud of the one song that I did write, and I just, you know, came out of me, the songs and the lyrics and the piano. And hopefully I can continue to do that.
I see. And from the new album, what songs resonate for you the most personally and why?
Well, you know, without a doubt, my song, because I wrote it. That resonates profoundly, deeply in me. And when I sing it, people go crazy because it's coming from, it's like anything that you create. But also, I think a lot of the songs Jesse wrote also resonate, but slightly different because it's a man writing for a woman who's perhaps worked with him on the ideas, so it has different layers to it. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and it's probably, I don't know, more of an empowered woman, a woman whose sexual appetites are her own, and, you know, it's coming from two different viewpoints, I suppose, which is what I think makes it very interesting. But I really like, for me, I like Four Corners, about an older woman and a younger man, and how they have this kind of very sexually hot relationship, but that he's afraid of it. And she says, it's a very sexy song, but it's quite jazzy as well. So I love that song. And I love the song What a Mess I Made, which is about, you know, what a mess you've made of your life. But it's done in a very reggae, kind of upbeat, Jack Jones, I don't know if you know who he is, but it's more of that sort of a song, so it kind of goes against the words. And it's very, I love that song as well. That's one of my favorites. But a lot of the songs are great. I Don't Trust Women resonates about how it's always usually the men you don't trust, but really it's women you don't trust. People say you should be part of the sisterhood, but, you know, women are the ones who are the mistresses, and women are the ones who are screwing around with your married husband. And you know what? You know, I don't want to lie here, but it's women that I don't trust, you know? And that's kind of a cool song, because it's a different take on it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And when I interviewed you last, you were telling me that music was actually your primary interest before acting sort of took over.
Yeah.
Talk about what inspired you musically in the beginning.
Well, look, I think at the very beginning I was inspired by the fact that I could sing and that I was always rewarded for my singing, you know, that I was singing in assemblies or that I was singing, you know, so I was young, so I might not have been the master of what I sang. I just sang covers or I was in bands. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think the true meaning for music has come for me as a more mature person when I wanted to say something more with my music. And I still think music is probably my main focus and what I love and feel most passionate about, because it's something that is now coming from within me. Instead of someone else's lines, I'm now writing, and I play piano and accompany myself now, and it's become much bigger than I thought it would when Jesse first approached me. Do you know?
Visit Jane at her official website, www.janebadler.com. From her CD Tears Again, here is Jane Badler with Four Corners.
You walk in your sleep. she's two. Four corners to my bed. Four corners to my bed. So don't hurt your pretty head. No, don't hurt your pretty head.
Listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com is pleased to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Revis, and their latest release, Do We Have to Beg? It's been 8 years since the band first electrified listeners with their stellar debut, and Revis has made up for lost time with a strong, sturdy collection of songs as evidenced by the lead single, Save Our Souls.
You took me way too high.
This is rock and roll. This is Revis, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at their official website, www.revisrocks.com. This message is brought to you by Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Put a little Rockwired on ya. Rockwired.com has just relaunched its merchandise page filled with t-shirts, long-sleeved shirts, hoodies, mugs, and caps. Trust me, nothing looks better on the human body than clothing that shows your support of online radio that rocks. All shirts and jackets are available in all sizes and brought to you by Cafe Press. Visit our store at rockwire.com/merchandise.html. All major credit cards are accepted. Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwire.com, every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue. Profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music with your host Brian Lush, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. You're listening to Jazzed in Blue. Profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for science fiction icon and playful chanteuse, Jane Badler, who has just released her latest CD, Tears Again. Rockwired had a chance to catch up with Jane regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And in the beginning, you know, instead of going for music, I mean, you kind of had a bit of a glory gig there with V.
Yeah, totally.
Talk about how that began for you.
You mean the very first V?
Yeah, right. The mini series. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was you know, I had stopped singing in my early 20s. I sang all growing up, and then I sort of just got into acting, and I was doing soap operas in New York, daytime soap operas. And I was flown out to L.A. to test for, they had seen, you know, hundreds of people for this role, and the director wasn't happy, and then I walked in, and he, you know, immediately said, she's the person, she's right for this role. And that was really it. It wasn't a very big role. It was about five scenes in the first miniseries. Second miniseries was much, much more. But it just became this incredible, you know, when you think about it, two miniseries and one 13 episodes, that was it. It wasn't that much. And it just never died. It's just been the most remarkable thing, you know?
Right.
I don't really think it was, people say, oh, you're such a great actress, you're so, but you know, it was just like most roles, it just resonated, and it was the timing, it was the way I looked, the way the lines were delivered, it was just the right time, the right moment, you know, really. It was it's just an amazing thing.
How did that character look to you on paper in the very beginning?
Like, no big deal, you know? You know, like five scenes in a two-hour miniseries or whatever it was, six, however long it was. You know, no big deal. I didn't think it was a big deal. It wasn't the big part. It was just me going in, doing a few scenes that on paper seemed okay, nothing special. And, you know, but in the end, it was the role that really, especially the rat eating scene, which was the moment that everyone remembers in the entire miniseries. So you realize it's not about how big the role is, but you know, about those moments.
I ask this just because, well, you know, your acting career has sort of taken off. You know, it seems like it's taken off immediately following the first album.
Yeah,
of
you're
yours.
Right. Yeah.
So talk about. I mean, how does it feel being in front of the camera again, for both Neighbors and V?
Well, you know? It was scary again. You know, it was. I mean, I did this is the thing. I did a horror film in December that's just being released, and I didn't have a big role. I had about five scenes in the movie, but they didn't audition me for it, and I just got it. And that was very terrifying for me because the people in the cast were there every day working. It was a very young cast, and I had to fly in and out and just do my scenes, and that was kind of very difficult. And then when I got Neighbors, it was kind of scary. Neighbors is a very fast-paced show where they do one show a day, no rehearsals, basically, and one take. You know, basically, you do however long the scene is, you just do it, and that's it, done, next, move on. You know, and I had some difficult days getting used to that pace, getting it in my system again. But wow, it really prepared me for this job, that's for sure. Which is, you know, a lot easier because they shoot 1 hour in 8 days and lots of time is spent on each scene, so you have lots of time to hone your scene. And it's just a great pleasure.
And what do you think is the biggest difference between working on this latest V and the V that you were involved in years ago?
Well, you know, I have to say, it's really different. Really different in that I'm different. I'm a completely different person. I'm in a completely different place in my life. Then I was living in L.A., and I was probably much more like the girl playing the kind of character that I was playing then. Anna Morena, who plays the lead evil one now, the one that I played 25 years ago, who, you know, is this gorgeous, talented woman in her 20s who, you know, is living in L.A. and looking to have a huge career. You know, now I'm past all that. I mean, not that I don't want to continually be creative, but I'm not looking for that anymore, do you know?
Right.
And so I'm coming back to it in a much calmer place with very different expectations, and so the joy is much greater for me. And I think probably as a series, it's a much better series than the V series was, not the mini series. The mini series were extraordinary.
It was. But I know what you mean about the
TV series.
But the V series,
was not extraordinary, and this is wonderful. This is a wonderful series, which I predict will be very big. I think just by what I'm seeing, I think people are going to love it, and that's really the difference. Is really the series. Is that this one a lot of thought, a lot of attention to scripts, and it's very classy. So, I think, you know, it's probably more like the miniseries was, do you know?
I remember, yes, I agree completely. I agree with you completely.
And, it's great. It's just great. I'm very, very lucky to be back again. I think this is a very rare thing, although you've seen it with William Shatner and, you know, people like that, haven't we?
Yes,
I mean, but, you know, he's huge again. I don't know. I'm not looking for that. But still, you do see people come back again, don't you?
You do, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's just the natural ebb of life, myself.
Brian, it's so true.
If you
hang in long enough, it comes back.
Everything comes back.
You know, can't give up. The fools that we are.
That being said, is this the same? I mean, obviously, it's not the same Diana from the original 83 miniseries, but, you know, are there similarities other than that you're reptilian underneath?
Yeah. Well, the name is similar, as they say, a homage to the old Diana. But really, it is a different character. And, you know, it's a different character in that the past and the history that they've written is different. And she's similar in that they still there's a slightly similar look. Do you know?
I saw the photo.
Yes, which I think is quite similar, don't you?
Yes, it is.
Which I love. I love that they did that. I think that's kind of cool, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah. Right. So I think that was a purposeful thing, and I think that's fantastic. So she's still, you know, they want her to be a sexy seductress. That's still part of the scenario. And, you know, still evil and still strong and powerful. And so there's probably lots of similarities, just a different history.
Talk about working with your protege, Morena Baccarin. Talk about working with her.
Well, she's great. Wow. She's, you know, the real deal. She's Juilliard trained and, you know, just a wonderful actress. And I think, like, the second that we met... you know, I think I knew that I was definitely a match for her. I mean, I think she's very good and very strong. So you need someone in the role that can be even stronger. I think, you know, I feel like I am because that's the role. I have to be. Do you know? And so it's great when we act together because that's exactly what it is. It's a constant competition between who is on top, who is stronger, who's got more of a mind, who's more intelligent, who's, you know what I mean?
Right.
And she's every bit a, you know, she's great. She's a great foil. So I think we're just having a great time.
What would you like a person to come away with after they've listened to Tears Again?
I would like them to come away with a smile, be entertained, also maybe reflect on looking at life slightly differently than maybe they have before. You know, basically entertainment, enjoying the ride.
Visit Jane at her official website, www.janebadler.com. From her CD Tears Again, here is Jane once more with What a Mess I've Made. To download this portion of the show, simply scroll to the bottom of the page and click where it says Download Part 3. That's going to do it for this edition of Jazzed in Blue. A special thanks goes out to Tracy Nelson and to Kelly Lee Evans and Jane Badler, as well as Chip Schutzman of Miles High Productions. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Jazzed in Blue is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.